Turn in your Bibles this evening to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 11. Four weeks ago tonight, we started with verses 18 through 20. So let's read them again this evening. "And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." So 4 weeks ago, as we began looking at this, we considered the point of God's grace and favor was going to be bestowed upon them. And if you remember, we said that God's grace would cause them to part with their great abominations. He was going to gather them together back into the land as one people, and God, his grace was going to cause them to depart from those abominable works which they worked in the land of Israel in the setting of the book of Ezekiel. What was those great abominable works which they did? Well, you about name it, they did it. Amen. And in the first charge against them was idolatry. They had erected an image that God called an image of jealousy because they went worshiping other gods, and it provoked him to jealousy, provoked him to anger, stirred up his anger. And they would not heed the reproof of the prophets that were sent many times before. In fact, they even slew them and put them to death. So he was bringing judgment upon them. A third would die by the famine and the pestilence, which was going to be brought about by the army of Babylon surrounding the city and shutting them up for over a period of a year, and no water coming in, no food coming in. And so they would starve to death by famine and by pestilence. And then a third of them were going to die by the sword. And the other third, a remnant, was going to be scattered to whatever country the Lord would scatter them into. And we find in Ezekiel's day and time that there was a group of them already by the river of Kibar in the land of Chaldee. But at a time when God gathers them all together as one people out of all the countries from whither he has scattered them and brings them back into the land, they're going to have departed from their evil and their wicked ways. Said in verse 19 that he would give them one heart. That is, before they had a divided heart. They had a heart that was primarily towards other gods, primarily towards idolatry. Today we would say the gods of this world. Everything that our eyes fall upon, We see, we want, that's what we serve. And we go after. And you can sum it up by saying the God of money. You know, you got to have money to get those things. So you spend your life and your time pursuing those things and getting the money to pursue them. But now, he said, they're going to have one heart. They're going to have a heart that is fixed upon me. Eyes fixed upon him. And him only. If you remember, we close that out with the thought that so many of us today, we have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And Jesus, teaching on the in the Sermon on the Mount, said you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and this world. And he called for our eyes to be single, to be wholly fixed upon him.
Amen. Amen.
Last week, we looked at, no, not last week, the week before, we looked at the thought that he would give them a new spirit. Well, if he's going to give them one heart, a heart that is not divided, a heart that is upon him and set for him and loves the things of God and desires the things of God, well, they must be going to have a new spirit too. And of course, we had some fun with that and saw that we carry the Holy Spirit of God with us. He's given us a new spirit. He's given us his spirit. His spirit to lead, guide, and direct. And that's what he's going to give to that remnant that he brings back into the land. They're going to have a spirit that is of God, a spirit that is led of God. And they are going to follow the leading of that spirit.
Amen.
Last week, now I get it right. Last week, we looked at tenderness of heart. He's going to give them tenderness of heart. He said he'd give them a new heart. He'd take away the stony heart. Remove the stony heart out of their flesh. Out of this body. This old heart that is of the world. And he was going to remove that heart and he's going to give them a heart of flesh. He was going to give them a heart that was able to be impressed. A heart that was tender towards God. Desired. God desired to do the things of God. It would be impressed by the Word of God. Something that they had not been before. You follow Israel through and by and large, they were a rebellious people. They were a stiff-necked people. God charged them with. They would not be impressed by the Word of God. He said now that he's going to give them a heart that would be able to be impressed. It would be impressed by his Word, by the Word of God. Desire the Word of God. Desire to be fed the Word of God. And it would have an impact upon their lives. An impact that would move them to obedience. Is what he says in verse 20, where we're going to begin tonight. Verse 20, he said, that they may walk. You see, he's going to do all that for them. Give them one heart, a new spirit. Remove the stony heart. And give them a tender heart that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them.
Amen.
So this point is a walk which is in obedience to his word.
Yes, amen.
If it's walking in his statutes and keeping his ordinances and does them, well, that's obedience. That's obedience. They look to the word, which they are now able to be impressed with, and they see it in the word of God. It's written on their hearts, and they do it. Amen. They do it in obedience. This is a result, as we said, of the new heart which He gives them, a new spirit which He gives them, which renews them day by day. You see, when you have those things, when you're truly a child of God, and you have one heart, a new spirit, the stony heart has been broken up with the word of God, and it's been removed, and in its place is a heart that is tender towards Him, able to be impressed by the word of God. It's renewed day by day. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. The book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. In verse 16, we read here, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," that is, our outward man grows weary, our outward man grows faint, this flesh grows weary and it grows faint, and yes, this flesh grows weary in doing the things of the Lord, it grows weary and faints. It doesn't like doing the things of the Lord. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It is renewed. It is continued to be this new strength each and every day. Continues to be strengthened. What's it continue to be strengthened in? Well, it continues to be strengthened in faith. Verse 13. "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak." You see, it is strengthened, it is renewed in faith, it is also renewed in grace. Verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Well, we need that faith renewed day by day. We need that faith strengthened each and every day. We need more grace every day. We need to be strengthened in grace. We need to be strengthened in hope each day. Verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," those things which we endure right now, which are an affliction to the flesh, "is but for a moment," he said. You know who's speaking here through the Holy Spirit? The Apostle Paul speaking here. Follow him. Follow him in the book of Acts. Look at what he suffered. Look at all the times that he was whipped with 39 stripes. Save one. 40, save one, makes 39. Look at all the times he was beaten and left for dead. They thought he was dead. Look at the times he was shipwrecked. He says, "Our light affliction. Our light affliction is but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What he's talking about here? He's talking about the Christian hope. Amen. And we need to be strengthened in that day by day. Amen. Sometimes multiple times a day. Especially as we go through these light afflictions, which are but for a moment. 2 Peter, to sum it up, we could say this, and we have, but sometimes we want more than just a summation. 2 Peter chapter 3. And Peter here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us about the coming of the Lord and the purging of the old heavens and the old earth, which are presently what we know, being burnt with fire, being purged with fire. And he said in verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." And then he ends up the chapter, he ends up the book of 2 Peter with verse 18 saying, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." You see those things we were discussing back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, verse 15, verse 16 and 17 and 18? That's growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we're admonished to do, exhorted to do, to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Romans in chapter 12. And thinking of it in this regard, we need to be renewed day by day, renewed in faith day by day, renewed in grace day by day, renewed in hope day by day, so that we might follow the beseeching that we have in the book of Romans, chapter 12, and verse 1, where we read, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." You see, these bodies are to be living sacrifices. Well, what do you mean by living sacrifice? Well, these bodies, these fleshly bodies, they desire things that are not spiritual. They desire things that are sinful. Amen. They desire things that are against God, in other words. Well, we have to sacrifice them. Mm-hmm. We have to do as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We have to beat this flesh black and blue. That's literally the rendition of those words that he uses there. Not that he did it in a literal sense, but we gotta crucify those desires and passions that this flesh desires, and to serve the Lord, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y. Not W-H-O-L-L-Y, but H-O-L-Y, holy. You know anyone that's holy? Not among men. We know some that are striving for that. We know some that wish to be. We know some that are going to be one day. Jesus Christ is holy. God's holy.
Amen.
And therefore, we desire to be holy, and he told us, "Be ye holy as I am holy." You see, so we're to present ourselves to God holy, acceptable unto God. Let's reason for a moment. If God's holy, and He is, Amen. We know He's holy. And His Word is a standard of holiness Amen. For us. If He's holy, what would be acceptable to God? Righteousness, holiness. Anything less than holy? Will that be acceptable to God? Who's holy? Anything less than holy must be falling short. But falling short of the mark must be sinful. God hates sin. We read Sunday afternoon that God is angry with the wicked. Sometimes. Is that what we read? Sometimes? God's wicked with thee. God is angry with the wicked every day. He's wicked with the angry. I'll try to say it right again. He's angry with the wicked every day. So, holy, acceptable unto God. That's the only thing that's acceptable unto God is holiness. So we're to be presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Notice this phrase, which is your reasonable service. Now who was this spoken to? Who was this written to? This was written to brethren. He said, I beseech you, brethren. And he's talking about those who were brothers in Christ to him. So he's talking about saved people. Amen. Saved people are the only ones that can begin to do any of this. A walk in obedience is where it begins, you see. And to the brethren, to those that are saved, a walk in holiness is only our reasonable service. Only our reasonable service. Wow. That says something to me, doesn't it, you? The renewed heart. Now get this. The renewed heart. That heart of flesh, that heart that is tender and impressed, the heart that God places there, yes. It's created new by Him. And it's living in every one of His people. Mm-hmm. As such. And it renounces sin. That's what he said in verse 18 of our text, of Ezekiel chapter 11. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. I mean, they were renouncing sin. That's what he says here. When they're gathered as one into the land, they renounce sin. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. Been a difficult passage to many folks. I don't know why. Verse 2 of 1 John chapter 3. We read, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. So he's talking to sons of God, saved individuals. Amen. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. More of the same of what we read in Romans 12 and 2 Peter 3:18 and 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Whosoever committeth sin, transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Talking about the law of God, God's law. And there's many facets to God's law found in His Word, in His book. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. In God is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever abideth in God sinneth not. Do you understand that? Whosoever abideth. Let me give you a little English lesson because it's archaic. In fact, every time I write this kind of word into my sermon outlines, spell check says it's wrong unless I add it to the dictionary. What doesn't it lie? The ETH or the TH? It wants you to put abide, in this case, abides. Whosoever abides in Him. Well, that changes the meaning of the word. The TH designated, on the end of it, designated there was an ever continual present process. It's not a one-time process. From the moment you were saved, you have abided in Christ. And you've continued every day since then, abiding in Christ. You got it? Mm-hmm. Same thing with sinneth. Which means he continues on in sin. Living in sin. You see, the drunkard who God saves, truly saves, he quits being a drunkard. The adulterer that God saves, he quits being an adulterer. The homosexual that God saves, he quits that lifestyle. All of those individuals I mentioned, they quit that lifestyle. They don't continue on in that lifestyle. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't ever sin, but we don't continue on in the practice of that sin. You see, so that's what he's talking about here. Now, let's go on. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, continues on living in sin. In that sin. In that condition. Hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Committeth. Same thing again. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That which is in you, that new heart which is in you, cannot sin. That new heart which is in you desires to do that which is pleasing and God-honoring to God. And when you sin, that which is in you, that new heart that you've been given, grieves because you sin. And thus, 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God I have that assurance. Thank God when I sin, and I know I've sinned, and I'm grieved because of that sin, I can go to Him. Amen. And I know there's forgiveness with Him. So, the renewed heart renounces sin. It doesn't want to sin. I don't want to sin. I do. Hopefully I sin less than I did. But I don't want to sin at all. You see, and I'm ever aware of my sin. And cry out, oh wretched man that I am. And so, because we renounce sin, we yield to God. We yield to God. And we yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Turn with me to the book of Romans again. The book of Romans in chapter 6. And to begin with chapter 6 and verse 1 is to begin, like to begin in the middle of a thought. Don't you find that so, brother? That's beginning in the middle of a thought. What shall we say then? Well, to what? Well, you got to go back to the 5th chapter, and especially at least verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law was there so that sin might be magnified. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen? I like that. And so you don't even get out of the 3rd chapter of the book of Genesis and you see grace. You know what the 3rd chapter of Genesis is? That's where Adam and Eve fell into sin. God pronounces a curse upon them. Curse the earth. The earth was now going to bring forth thorns and thistles and weeds. Man was going to earn his keep by the sweat of his brow. The woman was going to bring forth children in travail. And her desire was going to be under her husband. But Adam and Eve did something when they sinned. What did they do? They saw that they were naked. Oh, nakedness became sin when they ate of the tree that they were forbidden to eat of. Nakedness became sin. And so what did they do? Sewed themselves together fig leaves. God said, that's not good enough. You can't clothe your unrighteousness with your own righteousness, with your own works. And so what did God do in that 3rd chapter of Genesis? He killed an animal, an innocent lamb. And He clothed them. So there was 2 lambs that died that day. One for Adam, one for Eve. So that they might be clothed, they were clothed with God's clothing. Amen. You see, not with their own works. That's grace.
Amen.
That's grace. You and I can't clothe ourselves in our own works. It's not sufficient. It's as just like those fig leaves. It's as filthy rags before God. Amen. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 tells us that. We need to be clothed with His righteousness. Amen. With His works. And so Adam and Eve were clothed, and that was grace. That's grace. There's no man, no woman that deserves to be clothed in God's righteousness. I don't deserve it, and you don't deserve it. But God, out of His love and mercy, clothes those whom He chose before the foundation of the world in His righteousness. Now, reading on. But where sin abounded, and it did abound, grace did much more abound. My sin was great. My sin abounded much. But oh, when God came to me that day in 1974 in grace, it much more abounded. It dispelled all my sin, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My sin debt, which was great, was wiped away. And now, in its place, is the righteousness of God. That's my standing. Tonight, in our walk, we're talking about our state. Our state changes. And we're talking about our state. And sometimes our walk, our state gets dirty. We go to a state that we hadn't ought to be living in. And God has to deal with us thereby. But we yield our members as instruments of righteousness. Now, does it make sense? Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, yeah, if my sin abounded much, but when grace came to me, it did much more abound than it. Well, then I can just continue on sin in sin because grace is going to much more abound, right? You see, the Holy Spirit recognized what's in man and how man thinks. So he wrote down, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, when Christ Jesus died, and God called me to salvation, I died in Christ to sin. I died in Christ to sin. And that's what he goes on to describe in verses 4, 5, 4, 5, and 6. You see, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? That's what we picture in the waters of baptism up here. We picture a death has taken place, a death to sin. And when there's a death, you bury it. Bury it in the depths of the deepest sea. And then we rise forth up out of the water to picture rising to a new walk in Christ Jesus. Also picturing that day when we're going to be taken out of this. This body may be laid in a grave, but one day, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He gives that shout, those bodies are going to come forth from the grave. Be caught up with those that are alive and remain. And that's what we're looking forward to, is this people. Verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. This is the end results that God's going to create in the remnant of Israel. You see, but that is also a picture of the Gentile salvation. He did that for the Gentiles. He gave them one heart, those that he saved. He gave one heart. He put within them a new spirit. He removed the stony heart, gave them a heart that was soft and tender, able to be impressed by the Word of God, and a walk that desires to be walked in obedience to Him, serving Him. You see, and so we read verse 20 again, that they may walk in my statutes. Yes, while this here passage is speaking directly concerning the remnant of Israel, that day which is yet future. This hasn't happened to them yet. That day which is future. But it's also speaking of you and I.
Amen.
That they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinance and do them. And we're out of time. We'll have to finish that verse next week.